This morning, we consider Lord's Day 11 of the Heidelberg Catechism as the basis for the sermon. And in connection with that, we read Scripture from 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? This commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Thus far we read the word of God this morning. May God bless the reading of his word. We consider this morning Lord's Day 11 of the Heidelberg Catechism, which derives its instruction from 1 John 4 and from the whole of Scripture. Question and answer 29 and 30. Why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is, a Savior? Because He saveth us and delivereth us from our sins, and likewise because we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other. Do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves or anywhere else? They do not, for For though they boast of Him in words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus, the only Deliverer and Savior. For one of these two things must be true, either that Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they who by a true faith receive this Savior must find all things in Him necessary to their salvation. This Lord's Day that we have before us this morning continues to explain for us the Apostles' Creed. And we do well this morning to remember the divisions or the outline of the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed, the division of the Apostles' Creed is explained for us in Lord's Day 8. So I'm reminding you of that this morning, that the Heidelberg Catechism teaches us that there are three divisions or three headings in the Apostles' Creed. Heading number one is this, that we believe in God the Father, our Creator. Heading number two is this, that we believe in God the Son, our Redeemer. And heading number three is that we believe in God, the Holy Spirit, our Sanctifier. I call your attention to that this morning because Lord's Day 11 makes a transition this morning. Moving on from heading number one, where we confess faith in God the Father, our Creator, we now consider our faith in God the Son, our Redeemer. Professor Dykstra, a couple of weeks ago, finished Lord's Day 10, which along with Lord's Day 9, explains what we need when we confess faith in God the Father, who is our Father for the sake of Jesus Christ, the Creator of all things in heaven and on earth, and the one who by His mighty hand, by His mighty power of providence, continues to uphold the creation that He has made and governs all things, not for no purpose, but for the purpose of glorifying His name and of saving His church. This morning we turn to our confession of faith in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And we begin with the Catechism considering the names of the Son of God, our Savior. And the first name that we consider is the name Jesus. The Son of God is called Jesus. And this Lord's Day teaches us two very simple and beautiful truths about that name. That name tells us in the first place who the Son of God is. He is the Savior. And I want to stress this morning that the Heidelberg Catechism puts this before us very simply and very beautifully. He is not the one who tries to be the Savior. That's not who the Son of God is as Jesus. He is the Savior. That's who He is as Jesus. And then secondly, the Catechism teaches us very beautifully and simply that as the Savior, He's the one who does the work of saving. He saves and delivers His people from sin. Again, the truth is not merely that He attempts to save, that He, on His part, desires to save, but the truth that is before us this morning is this. Jesus, as the Savior, fully and completely and actually, powerfully saves His people. This is why we love the name Jesus. This is why we sing about the name Jesus. This is why we say, how sweet the name of Jesus. Because He is the Savior who actually saves. And that's how we must confess our faith in Jesus this morning. With a childlike faith, the Catechism teaches us, that finds in Him all things necessary for salvation. Even the children can understand the truth of this Lord's Day and that this truth is not complicated. When Jesus is identified as the Savior, that means He saves. He saves alone. He saves completely. There are many, of course, who corrupt this truth, who corrupt the simple gospel that we learn in the name Jesus Christ. They do that in complicated fashion. They do not come out in forthright, the Catechism teaches us this morning, and deny that Jesus is the Savior. They speak of Jesus as the Savior, but then they go on to teach that He does not do all of the work of salvation. No, for salvation, man, the sinner, must look to someone or somewhere else. And the Catechism teaches us that's not the attitude of childlike faith. That's the attitude of an unbeliever who denies Jesus. The attitude of faith is this: the Son of God is the Savior, and I find in Him all things necessary for my salvation. And so I call your attention to this Lord's Day under the theme, Jesus, our only Savior from sin. Noticing three things: the fact that He's the only Savior from sin for us, secondly, the manner in which He is our Savior from sin, and then thirdly, the comfort of this: Jesus is our only Savior from sin. We confess that Jesus is our Savior, our one and only Savior this morning, because, as the Catechism points out, He is the Son of God. The wording of the first question here before us this morning is important. The Catechism could have simply asked, what does the name Jesus mean? But the Catechism deliberately asks us this: why is the Son of God called Jesus? In order to emphasize that the one who is our Savior is, first of all, the Son of God. He's not, first of all, Jesus. That's His name, as our Savior, as our Mediator who has come into our flesh to save us from our sins. But that's not His eternal name. That's not His original name. His eternal name is Son of God. The Catechism is pointing out that He is Jesus the Savior because this is true, first of all. He is the Son of God. Now that's important for us to maintain because in the past it was quite popular and today it still happens to teach that Jesus is a man, no doubt, that He is a historical figure, but that that's all that He is and that that's what He is in the first place. He is the man Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem, laid in the manger, not eternal God, not the eternal Son of God, not God at all, the man Jesus. That's who He is. And then, at some point, He became conscious of the fact that He is the Son of God and claimed to be the Son of God, but not the eternal Son of God who is God. That is heresy. Contrary to the teaching of the Reformed faith here in the Heidelberg Catechism, contrary to the teaching of Scripture, the one who has the name Jesus is not first Jesus. He is, first of all, the only begotten Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, co-essential with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, co-equal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, and co-eternal God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. He is very God. And the point is this: if this is not true, then He's not Jesus and He's not the Savior. But He is Jesus and He is the Savior because He is very God. So He is Jesus the Savior. That's His personal name. That personal name in the English, Jesus, comes from the Greek word Jesus, which in turn comes from the Hebrew word, the children may know this, Joshua, which is the shortened form of Jehoshua. Jeha, which is short for Jehovah, and Shua, which means Savior or salvation. This is what the name Jesus reveals to us about the Son of God, that He is Jehovah, Almighty and Eternal God, come to save His people from their sins. He is the eternal I Am that I Am. He is God, this name reveals to us. Independent God, unchanging God, the unchanging God of our salvation. That's Jesus who saves His people. What does that mean? The Catechism very simply and beautifully teaches us it means He saveth and delivereth us from our sins. Now that doesn't mean that first of all or merely that He saves us from the consequences of sins. No, this salvation is salvation from the guilt of sin first of all. Jesus Christ came as Jehovah God into our human flesh in order to lift up our sin, the guilt of our sin, to bear that guilt, in order to take that guilt away. And then, He saves us from sin in the second place by delivering us from the power or the pollution of that sin. Jesus Christ is not only the Savior who delivers from the punishment that is deserved because of sin, which is hell, but He delivers from the misery that sin causes. He delivers from the ruling power of sin that corrupts and pollutes those who are depraved by nature. This is where those who do not have faith really want nothing to do with Jesus as the Savior from God. Oh yes, they want deliverance from sin's guilt. You want that, don't you? You want deliverance from the punishment you deserve for sin. Deliverance that means from everlasting death in hell. But those who are unspiritual want nothing to do with this aspect of salvation from sin. Deliverance from sin's power, so that they no longer are dominated by sin, so that they no longer desire to continue in sin, so that they now seek to live a new and God-glorifying life that holds no interest or attraction for those who are unspiritual. But those who know Jesus, by God's grace, through faith, delight in this aspect of salvation. Delight not only to be forgiven the guilt of sin, to be freed from hell, but delight in this, the ability to fight against sin, the ability to say no to sin and to the devil, and to live in thankful obedience to God. That's a joyful aspect of salvation from sin. And then thirdly, there is, and this does need to be said, salvation from the consequences of sin. Now that needs to be rightly understood. That Jesus is the Savior from the consequences of sin does not mean that in this life we are altogether delivered from the power of sin, and that we're altogether delivered from the effects of sin. We still experience sin and its consequences in our lives. It's why we still sin. It's why we still have consciences that are bothered by sin. And that's why we still experience many trials and troubles in this life. They are the consequences of sin. That we are delivered from the consequences of sin means that we look forward to the future. Means that we look forward to heaven, where the book of Revelation tells us God is going to finally do away with sin and then also the consequences of sin. There will be no tears. There will be no trials. No chastening from the Lord in heaven. Jesus will, in the last day, deliver us from the consequences of sin. That's part of our hope for the next life. But our hope is here too. Understand that when Jesus delivers from the consequences of sin, that there's a deliverance now too. And that's very important for us, especially when we feel the hand of God chastening us in this life for our sins. Understand that if you believe in Jesus as your Savior, that means that though God's heavy hand may rest upon you, chastening you in your life, that chastening is in love because you have been delivered from God's wrath and hatred. That consequence of sin, that is God's expression of anger for sin, His curse. From that now and forever, Jesus saves. It's very important that you and I understand that Jesus is the Savior from sin, so that we recognize the manner in which He saves us is, first of all, a gracious manner. The fact that Jesus is the Savior from sin means that you and I need to confess ourselves this morning to be sinners who are bound by sin, who do not deserve at all to be delivered from sin by Jesus Christ, and who deserve to be punished everlastingly. And that Jesus is the gracious Savior means not only that this salvation is not deserved, we deserve the opposite. It means that it can't be accomplished by us, but only by grace, by God's grace through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only Savior after all. He's the only way of salvation, and that means the only possible way of salvation. And so the Catechism teaches us here this morning that the name Jesus means that He is the Savior who saves by grace. Secondly, the Catechism teaches us this morning that Jesus is the Savior who saves completely. That means that Jesus Christ does all that needs to be done to save His people from sin. The Reformed faith denies that the work of salvation can be cut up into pieces or parts, and then parts of that work of salvation can be given to Jesus, and then parts of that work of salvation can be given to others. No, the Reformed faith says all the work of salvation is Jesus' work. There are some in the Catechism, in its day, was looking squarely at the Roman Catholic Church, who do divide up salvation into parts. And Jesus Christ, of course, does part of the work of salvation, but then others need to do part of the work of salvation too. Saints need to be looked to for part of the work of salvation, the Catechism points out in the Roman Catholic system. You need Jesus, of course, but you need St. Mary. You need St. Paul. You need St. Peter to do something to save you from your sins too. And you need yourself. You need your own works of penance or your own works of righteousness in order to actually be saved. And you need the church. Yes, Jesus saves, but you need the church. You need the Pope, and you need his priest to make sacrifices for you so that your salvation is partly through the work of Jesus sacrificing himself on the cross, but partly through this, that the priest daily offers Jesus for you in the Mass. Now, the Catechism had its eye on the error of Rome in that day when it was written, and the young people can tell you that was in 1563, but the Catechism has its eye on every error since then that amounts to teaching the same thing. These errors may come under different names. They may have different nuances. but in the end, they amount to the same thing, to saying, yes, we believe in Jesus. We believe He's the Savior. But He doesn't do all of the work of salvation. And that comes under the name of Arminian. The Arminian says, Jesus offers salvation. Jesus makes salvation possible. But there's a little bit that man must do too. He needs to make a choice. He must of his own will make a decision for Jesus Christ. Or that may come under the name today of the Federal Vision. And those who teach the Federal Vision would protest that their teachings are much different from the teachings of Rome, but when it comes down to it, the teaching is the same in this regard. That much of the work may be done by Jesus Christ, but in the end, there's a condition that man must fulfill, especially within the covenant that God establishes with His people. But then you understand the Heidelberg Catechism teaches us Jesus is, despite the fact those people say He's the Savior, He's not the Savior. The Catechism is teaching us this morning that you cannot say that Jesus is the Savior and mean it if you deny that He is the complete Savior. A partial Savior is not an actual Savior. One of two things must be true. And understand, this is the judgment of the Catechism in the light of Scripture. Either Jesus Christ is the complete Savior who does everything to save His people, or He's no Savior at all. There is no third option. There is no option to say that Jesus is part Savior along with someone else. No, He is either your only and complete Savior or no Savior. And the Reformed faith maintains and confesses this truth sharply and plainly. And it's very simple. Jesus the Savior does all that is needed for salvation. And that means then, that He is the powerful Savior. There are many who say that Jesus saves. They'll confess that Jesus is the Savior, but they mean no such thing. They do not mean that Jesus actually or powerfully saves. When a Roman Catholic or an Arminian says Jesus saves, all they mean is that Jesus attempts to save. He tries to save. And I'm not putting words in their mouths when I say that this morning. They themselves will say that there are many for whom salvation is available in Jesus Christ, but who in the end are not actually saved. They perish eternally. And you see then, because they deny that Jesus actually accomplishes salvation, so that if you're saved by Jesus, you are saved, then He's not only an incomplete Savior, but a weak, ineffectual Savior. But the confession that we make this morning, and it's very simple and very beautiful, is that the Lord Jesus Christ completely saves His people, doing all that is necessary for their salvation, so that He actually and powerfully saves. He's the Son of God, after all. And in all of the power of God, He saves His people, so that not one of them will ever perish. And that means, this follows from that, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of His elect people only. If He was the Savior of all men, as some people say, then Jesus Christ would be a weak and ineffectual Savior. And that's because the Bible is quite plain on this, and no one denies this. Jesus Christ does not save all men so that all men end up in heaven. There are many who end up perishing in hell. To say then that Jesus is or wants to be the Savior of all men means that He is a weak, incomplete Savior. But if we say, as we do this morning, that He is the complete, powerful Savior, that means that He must be and is the Savior only of His elect people, those whom God the Father has chosen in eternity. And there's the truth. There's the truth. God the Son came into the world, having received from God in eternity those whom He had chosen unto eternal life, and having received from God in eternity the obligation and the calling to do all that is necessary to justify them, to sanctify them, to preserve them, and to glorify them. The name Jesus means that He is the Savior who holds in the palm of His hand and loses none of the sheep that God has given to Him. Their number, it cannot be increased. It cannot be decreased either. And this is our comfort. Our comfort is that in believing in Jesus, the Son of God as our Savior, our complete Savior, means that our salvation rests on God. I don't want to depend on Mary or Paul or any other saint because they are not God. They cannot save. I do not want to depend on myself, my own work. I'm not God either. I cannot save. Anytime, understand that. This is what the Catechism is teaching us in the light of Scripture this morning. Anytime salvation is taken away from God so that it rests on anyone besides God, there's no comfort there. There's no assurance of salvation. There's unrest and anxiety and grief. And that is why there's so much unrest, so much lack of assurance in the Roman Catholic Church and among Arminians. When we look to Jesus, Jehovah salvation, we look to God and we rest. Because by confessing that Jesus is God, our complete and powerful Savior, we know salvation is done. Those who look to others for salvation can never say, it's all done. It's all done. They must always say or ask, has enough been done by me or by others? Did I do enough good work? Did I serve God enough? And they always live, the Roman Catholic does, with the fear, I haven't done enough, and I'm going to end up in purgatory. The Arminian with the fear, I might fall before I die, and I might perish. And they live with the fear of hell. We never ask the question, have I done enough? No. Looking to Jesus Christ in faith as the Savior, the complete Savior, the powerful Savior, as the Son of God who saves us, we ask only this. Has He done enough? And then the Catechism's answers ring in our ears. He saveth and delivereth us from our sins. And He is the complete Savior in whom I find and you find all that is necessary for salvation. And then we can say, by faith, He's not only the Savior, He's my Savior. All my sins are gone. I am an heir of everlasting life. Amen. Father in heaven, we love the name Jesus. We thank Thee for revealing that name to us in the Scriptures and for revealing to us the meaning that His name shall be Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Humble us that we may see that there is no salvation of ourselves or anyone else, but only powerfully, completely in Jesus Christ. It causes us to look to Him alone by faith. Amen.